Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Testing for perfluorinated compounds that have tainted wells in South Fairbanks and Moose Creek is expanding across the state. Ukiavik is the latest community to detect these synthetic chemicals, which were found last month in a lake sometimes tapped for drinking water in the North Slope community. Perfluorinated compounds, formerly widely used in firefighting foam and as coatings on a range of consumer products, are considered a human health risk, and the Environmental Protection Agency issued a national advisory last year. Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation Water Quality Program Manager Cindy Christian says the compounds, which have not been conclusively linked to human health problems, are not regulated in drinking water, but the DEC encourages water source testing.
And most public water systems, I have to say, have been very responsive to that, that when we've said that you might want to do this, that they've all gone out and done that. This is really, really at the infancy, and so we don't have a whole lot of results back. I think we probably will see more water supplies affected.
Christian emphasizes that carbon water filtration systems already in place at many utilities remove perfluorinated compounds, but that many private wells are vulnerable.
Most private wells are not treated, or, you know, a lot of people in the interior especially, and well, and throughout the state, because we have a lot of iron and things like that in the water, so people will have softeners or maybe filters. But they might not have the type of carbon filter that would remove PFAS and PFOA.
Local contamination of wells in the Moose Creek area outside Eielson Air Force Base and around a regional firefighting training center in South Fairbanks have resulted in the Air Force and the City of Fairbanks providing affected property owners with alternate drinking water sources. EPA regulation of manufacture and use of perfluorinated compounds began in 2000, but the substances commonly persist in water worldwide. And State Environmental Health Program Manager Sandrine DeGlas says they are evident in most people's blood.
They are found in about 98%, 99% of the U.S. population.
DeGlas stresses that levels have been dropping since perfluorinated compounds came under regulation and that not enough research has been done on health effects.
Some, but not all, studies have shown that certain PFAS may have adverse developmental effects. For example, changes in birth weight or in growth, they could potentially have effect on endocrine and on the endocrine and immune systems, and they could potentially increase cholesterol levels and the risk of certain types of cancers.
DeGlas says research is ongoing, and until there's more conclusive data on health effects, people are advised not to drink water found to contain perfluorinated compounds. An Army Corps of Engineers contractor has completed cleanup of fuel contamination along the historic Haynes-Fairbanks pipeline near Quartz Lake. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Anchorage-based Bristol Environmental Remediation Services removed 15,000 tons of fuel-contaminated soil from the old timber pump station near Quartz Lake. But Army Corps of Engineers project manager Beth Astley says the contractor couldn't remove contamination that had reached groundwater and spread.
So there's a fairly large plume of contamination in the groundwater there.
Astley says the Corps of Engineers will monitor groundwater around the timber station to determine whether the contamination is still spreading and whether removing the tainted soil above is reducing the level of contaminants in the groundwater below.
So we will be continuing our investigation of that area. We're going to be installing several groundwater monitoring wells, and we'll be taking groundwater samples to determine what the residual contaminant concentrations are now that we've done the soil removal.
The State Department of Environmental Conservation says fuel spills can unleash many chemical compounds that pose a threat to human health, especially benzene, a cancer-causing substance. Astley says the timber station cleanup project cost $3.5 million, and she says Bristol Environmental began another cleanup this week at the site of an old tank farm near Birch Lake that also was part of the Haynes-Fairbanks pipeline.
The contract allows 1,500 tons of petroleum-impacted soil to be removed, so they will keep removing soil until they reach that contract capacity or until the samples are no longer contaminated.
Astley says the Birch Lake project's expected to be completed by the end of the month. She says that'll be the fourth cleanup the Corps of Engineers has conducted this summer on facilities that were part of the old pipeline, which ran from Haynes to Fairbanks through a portion of Canada, then along the Alaska Highway and Richardson Highway. It operated from 1954 to 1973. The other two projects conducted this summer were at Scotty Creek near the U.S.-Canada border and near Dot Lake. Astley says plans call for work to continue at three other pipeline facilities near Sears Creek, Tok, and the main terminal at Haines. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
The Pebble Limited Partnership has a new plan for the controversial copper and gold mine in southwest Alaska. The company is hoping to reintroduce Pebble as a smaller project that will not harm the spawning grounds of Bristol Bay salmon. KDLG's Dave Benninger reports.
We set as a goal trying to get into the ballpark of what the Obama EPA would have allowed to have been built.
That's Pebble Mine CEO Tom Collier discussing the now slimmed down size for the proposed mine about 17 miles northwest of Iliamna.
The Bristol Bay Watershed Assessment said that something 4.7 square mile footprint could be built, and we're at 5.4 square miles as we go forward with this project.
This footprint is less than half the size EPA assumed Pebble would be developing. Collier is touting some of the other key design changes that he says are all in direct response to the concerns and criticisms raised by Alaskans over the years. One is leaving the last 15% of the gold in the mined ore.
We have decided that we are not going to do secondary gold recovery in this project, so there'll be no cyanide. Tailings facilities will be much smaller. We'll separate out those that might generate acid and make that facility lined and even more buttressed so it'll be safe.
Pebble is also moving away from Upper Tulare Creek, putting its 20-year mine plan together around the north and south fork of the Kaktuli River. The Kaktuli is an area of rich fish and wildlife habitat and is a tributary stream for the Mulchatna, which feeds into the Nooshigak, which drains into Bristol Bay. The west side tributaries just had a record-smashing return of sockeye salmon this summer, and messing with spawning grounds make a lot of people very nervous.
In normal operations, the disturbance of actual fish habitat is negligible.
This is a claim he and his team will have an uphill battle to defend. If Pebble files an application by December, the permitting process could take 3 years or more, and inevitable lawsuit challenges would probably add a few more years before any construction would get underway. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.
And I'm Dan Bross.